Hey, welcome to the church that gathers and worships here at Bethel. We gather, and I want to give you the why. I'm a why person, right? I was the student who, if the teacher didn't give me the why, I was a terror to that person. Here's the why of why we gather: because we believe in the gospel, Jesus in our place. We gather because we know that Jesus changed our life when he died on the cross and he rose again. And for all of you who are new or new-ish or refurbished, for everyone who's watching online, we have people online that are watching for the first time, checking the service out. We have those that are watching from a hospital room because they can't be here. Church, let's let them know that we're glad to have them today. As you clap, it's about to get real because here's our pop quiz again. We're continuing our sermon series this summer on the apostles. There's 12 of them. You count Judas and the Judas replacement, there's 13, but there's 12 of them. And before the summer is out, I want you to know the names of the 12. Here we go. We're going to start with the easiest four. Peter, Andrew, and the other two brothers, James and John. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, not the doubter, and Matthew. And then we have James. We have Thaddeus, we have Simon the Zealot, and then last but not least, normally at the end of the list is Judas the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. Well done, by the way. Well done. Today we're going to look at Andrew. Now let me speak to, as we begin, let me speak to everyone who loves golf. I didn't say you had to play well, you just love the game. Because I believe, and I found this true in my life, in everything that we do and we love, if it's a true love, God has given you that to bring him glory. And I believe in it, no matter where you are in life or no matter what conversation you have, God has given you a bridge to the gospel. So any student of the game golf, you know that on the blustery coast of Scotland, a golf course named St. Andrews is the birthplace of this sport that they play with the little ball and, you know, funny socks and these little stick things. And even more, the flag of Scotland is the St. Andrew's cross, or the saltire, as they call it. It's an X-shaped cross. And there is a monument on St. Andrew's today, the golf course, where they believe that the bones of St. Andrew the Apostle were actually buried. So let me just say this. If you struggle sharing the gospel and you love golf, every time you set foot on that golf course, God has given you a natural bridge to the gospel. Because you can tell someone, hey, if you love golf, did you know that golf began at St. Andrew's? St. Andrew's is named after the apostle who gave his life because he believed Jesus took his place. God can use any love in your life to bring him glory. So for all of our golfers, this is your apostle. Like, this is your dude. Share Christ. Use that love for a greater love. His name is Jesus. Andrew is the least known of all the four disciples in that lead group. Right? We have Simon, and we'll see later why he overshadows Andrew. We have Andrew, and then James and John. Andrew only appears in five episodes in Scripture. In the book of John, chapter 1, we see him leading John the baptizer and following Jesus when John says, look, the Lamb of God. We see him later on leaving his nets and following Jesus. That's the call. We see him in Mark 13 asking about the kingdom, and he's grouped into that top four tier. We see Andrew, and this is important, we're going to see later, when Jesus is trying to feed the 5,000, and they don't have a Dollar General close by. There's a disciple that says, hey, there's a young lad here with loaves and fishes. Well, who was the one who found the young man? It was Andrew. And then we see, finally, there's these Greek gentlemen that want to meet Jesus. And so they go to Philip, and Philip goes to Andrew, and Andrew is the one who leads them to Jesus Christ. What we will find in Scripture today is there's a theme in Andrew's life. Every time you see him in Scripture, he is either seeking Christ personally or he is seeking others that they might seek Jesus Christ. So today's message about Andrew is called Andrew the Seeker. Andrew the Seeker. So let's read John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. And what we're going to read, there's Andrew and another disciple leaving John the Baptist for Jesus. Now, the other disciple is never named, but his name is John. He's an eyewitness to this event. He's the writer of the gospel. So verse 35, John chapter 1. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. It's John the Baptist, and he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and you will see," Jesus replied. So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. The first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which for those who don't speak Aramaic is Peter. Let's pray. Father, give us today a heart of Andrew, a man, a person, an individual who sought after Jesus for himself. But Lord, that was not simply the end of his life and the end of his faith. Give us a heart that seeks after others, that they might seek after you. Because there is nothing in our lives that compares to Jesus Christ, the only begotten, who died on the cross for our sins, that we might have abundant life in you once again. Oh Lord, give us a heart of Andrew, that we would seek you and seek your face. We ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So Andrew the person, his name comes from the Greek meaning masculine or brave or manly. And when we first encounter Andrew, he's following this Essene prophet type individual. The Essenes, they were the salty group. They lived in the wilderness. They felt like that they were the people of righteousness. They were waiting for God to come back and redeem them. They were the Hasidic. They were the righteous community. They lived like to a beat of their own drum. And John the Baptist, one of their leaders, was the man, the voice in the wilderness, crying and making straight the path of the Lord. John the Baptist was the one in the camel's jacket and the locusts and the wild honey. So I would argue that for Andrew to follow John, you had to be brave or crazy. And so I think he was living out his character by the way that he modeled his faith. His character fits his name. And now in John chapter 1, we find that he's a seeker. So in Scripture, the Lord introduces Andrew, because the Holy Spirit has inspired his word. When you meet Andrew, he's being introduced to Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. Now again, it's not explicitly stated, but I believe it's John, the other apostle, who's one of the two mentioned in verse 35. Andrew was a devout man, and he wanted to know God. That's the only reason you would follow John the Baptist. You wouldn't leave your nets to follow John if you didn't matter about things of the soul. Andrew was a man deeply concerned about eternal matters. He cared about fishing. I mean, he cared more about eternal matters, his soul, more than he did fishing. And now John and Andrew were ready to leave fishing behind because they believed that Jesus was worth it. And as I look at Andrew's life, as we see him seeking Christ, I'm reminded of this. You will never be willing to follow Jesus if you're not ready to follow Jesus. You'll never be willing to follow unless you're ready to follow. We have all sorts of excuses, don't we? Often we say, well, God, let me get my life lined up and then I will be willing to follow you. Or let me prepare my life. No, Andrew would say, listen, just ready your heart. Ready your heart to long for God and to care more about the soul than anything else, your soul. And then you'll be willing when you are ready, when God calls you. So are you willing and ready today to follow Jesus? Maybe you walked in here with reluctance. Maybe you're listening and there's hesitation. And you say, well, Pastor, give me a day. Give me a week. Let me get the job. Let me get the family. Let me get my life. Let me get retired. Let me get everything in order. Then I will be ready and willing. Andrew says, if you're not ready in your heart, you will never be willing with your hands. Are you ready and willing to seek the Lord? And Yahweh wants you to seek him and to know him. Remember Paul, who went to Mars Hill, the Areopagus. If you were at Vacation Bible School, you might have heard this story. And Paul walks into this trophy shop known as a temple, and he sees all these idols, and there's all these different idols to all these gods, and then there's an idol to an unknown god. And Paul, as he does, he believes there's a gospel conversation in every opportunity. And he takes that unknown god and he says this in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. He said, God did not do all this for you for nothing. He did this that you might seek him, and perhaps that you might reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. Maybe today you feel like that. Maybe you feel that God is far from you. Andrew reminds us that God is not far. He desires that you seek him. Matthew 7, the Messiah reiterates the same thing. Jesus says, ask, seek, and find. If you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. Church today, oh, that we would have a heart of Andrew, a man that had a heart that sought after God, the heart that ask things of the Lord, and a heart that would knock and say, Jesus, I am ready to follow you no matter what it cost. See, Andrew was a man who sought Christ and he was ready for the gospel. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, how do you know he was ready? Look at verse 35. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When John saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God, exclamation point. And the two disciples conferred with himself, and they finished their Essene study guide, and they realized that what John said would be true was Jesus. And after they had conferred and after they thought about it at length, they were then ready to follow Jesus. That is not what happens, by the way. John points to Jesus, and what happens in verse 37? How much time elapses from look, the Lamb of God, to I have to follow the Lamb of God? In a blink of an eye, Andrew was ready to receive the gospel. He immediately followed him, the Bible says. Verse 37. And literally in the ancient world, that's what would happen. How would you know someone's a disciple? They would literally follow Jesus. They would follow the rabbis. They would follow, they would walk along or walk behind their leader. So what we know in the book of John, who was the very first disciple to follow Jesus? It was Andrew. Andrew was the first apostle because he has a heart that was ready. Jesus, perceiving that he now has company, turns around and he asks, what are you doing? "What are you looking for?" Jesus asked. Now, this pithy but perceptive statement, Jesus is not asking for Jesus' information. Jesus is not turning around and saying, "Andrew, would you please inform me, because I don't know, why are you following me?" That's not what Jesus is asking. He's asking to all those who might follow Christ in the future and to those who are following today, what are you really looking for? You see, many of us express interest in faith. We express interest in spiritual things for a myriad of reasons. Some are good, some are holy, some are selfish, are they not? We can follow Christ initially because we want the world to think of us as a moral person. We can join a church because it might have beneficial ramifications for us sociologically or for our business economically. Or maybe we're raising children. We think, well, if I just have the church in this, maybe I have a fighting chance. And so Jesus is asking Andrew, why are you really following me? Why are you looking for what you're looking for? And this is the exact same question that Jesus asks each of us. For all who said, "I want to follow Jesus," what are you looking for? Are we simply looking for benefits that might help us eternally? Jesus would say, "Well, Josh, you're not looking for the cross. You're not looking for the gospel. You're looking for selfish glory. Why are you following Jesus?" Because Christ wants Andrew to make a decision in John. Are you in by faith? Are you simply attached periphery? So this is what we see. They said, "We need a place to stay," which I would argue is a good reason to follow Jesus. But we know that for others, Jesus said, "If you're following me for the place, birds have nests and foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Be careful what you ask for. And Jesus then says this, verse 39. He says, "Come and you will see." Now, one scholar says this statement is a conditional imperative. Some of you are like, "Yes, grammar. I've been waiting for this moment." For those who are not in that category, and would raise your hand and say, "Pastor, what in the world is a conditional imperative?" It's translated this way, and I love this translation. Jesus, in essence, is saying, if you come, and I hope that you do, you will find what you are searching for. I love that. Jesus says to Andrew, if you come, and I hope that you do, you will find what you are looking for. Listen, to all who desire to follow Jesus today, Jesus says the same thing to you. Jesus asks you, why are you following me? And then Jesus says, but if you come, and I hope that you do, you will find everything that you are looking for at the cross of Calvary. You will find that your sins have been atoned for, that forgiveness is available, that a broken relationship with an eternal holy God can be restored, that you can be adopted into an eternal family if you give your faith to Jesus Christ. Come, and I hope that you do, and you will find what you are searching for. Church, oh, that the Lord would give us a heart of Andrew today. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. Andrew was a man who sought after the Lord. But Andrew was also a man who lived in the shadow. It wasn't any shadow. It was the shadow of his brother. Look at verse 40. Andrew, parentheses, who? Simon Peter's brother. Andrew was always known as Simon Peter's brother. Throughout Scripture, every time you hear about Andrew, you hear about Peter. Can you imagine being that guy? Thinking, I'm tired. Listen, I brought my brother to Jesus. And now I have to live in his shadow. And some of us live like that, right? You feel like I'm frustrated because I'm only known by parents. I'm only known by my last name. I'm only known by my big brother or big sister or little brother or little sister. I'm tired of living in the shadow. John MacArthur actually calls Andrew the apostle of the small things because he was always in the shadows. He was always in the periphery. But you know what you never hear about Andrew grumbling? You always hear in Scripture him linked with Peter, but you never hear him grumbling. You never hear him point his finger at Peter and say, "You owe me because I brought you to Jesus." He never once grumbles. Andrew is a beautiful model of how our lives must look. Many of us will serve Jesus in relative obscurity. Not any of us really will ever preach to thousands on Pentecost like Peter and see thousands added to the church daily. Not many of you, I would dare say any of you, will become the leader of the church of Jerusalem and be crucified upside down for your faith like Peter. None of you will write another book of the Bible because the canon is closed like 1st or 2nd Peter. But each of us can live in humility and honor Jesus Christ as we love his church and serve the world. Andrew reminds us it's okay to live in the shadow and serve Jesus. It's okay to serve Christ and no one know that you did it. In a world that says, hey, build a platform. Andrew, get out of the shadow. I bet you're tired of hearing about your brother. Andrew, you need your Twitter following. Andrew, you need to be Insta famous. Andrew was quite content to serve Jesus Christ, whether the world saw him or not. And maybe you serve in someone else's shadow. Let me encourage you to be intentional about being a cup filler. If other people in your life are getting attention by the good things that they're doing, champion that. It's okay to encourage someone who's doing a good job. We never know, but I would imagine that Andrew was the one that when Peter was praying at Pentecost, that Andrew was in the corner on his knees praying that God would send a holy revival. Maybe Andrew was the one counseling all the people who were coming up because Peter couldn't do it alone. Be an encourager to someone who God is glorifying before others. And if the world does not know about you, let me just say this. It is more important what God knows about you than what the world says about you. And I am quite content to live in the shadow of the wings of my Heavenly Father to live on a platform of the world. It's okay to live in the shadow. May we be content to be a disciple of the small things. And lastly, we see Andrew not only seeking Christ for himself and living in a shadow, but he's now seeking others. Look at verse 40 and 41. Andrew, by the way, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two. And he followed Jesus, and he first found his own brother Simon, and he told him, "We have found the Messiah." So Andrew was a man ready and comfortable introducing people to Jesus. Every time you hear about Andrew or read about Andrew in the Gospel of John, he is bringing an individual to Jesus. What a model for us. It was Andrew who brought Peter. It was Andrew who brought the young man when Jesus performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. It was Andrew who brought the Greek individuals to come to Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of this. It seemed natural for Andrew to bring people to Jesus, as if he couldn't do anything else. I believe Andrew would tell us, listen, when you're seeking Christ, you're seeking other people who can seek Christ. And for those of us who would say, well, I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to evangelize. I don't have a program, or I don't have a memorization chart. I don't have a sales pitch. I can't do it. Andrew would say, is all you have to do is introduce them to Jesus. Jesus did the work on the cross. You don't have to do the work. Introduce them to Jesus. It was natural to Andrew because he knew Jesus personally. This disciple was known for bringing individuals, not crowds, to Jesus Christ. So who are you bringing to Jesus? Not many of us would stand up before crowds and preach to thousands or hundreds. But all of us know individuals, don't we? And what we see over and over again is that the crowds are important to God because he loves them. But individual hearts are important to God because he loves them. Who is your one? Who has God put in your life that doesn't know Christ, but they know you, and God has put you in their life that you can say, hey, I know this Jesus person. Follow me. I will introduce you to Jesus. Because Jesus will change your life. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hey, brother, you know the one we've been looking for? I found him. Hey, young man, we don't have any food, but you have a little food, and I know the one who can make a little into a lot. Hey, outsiders, outcasts, the Greeks, you can't come to Jesus, but hey, follow me, I'll show you where he is. God has put you in someone's life because he is using you to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Who is your one? Who is God burdening you with right now that you might seek the face of God on their behalf? If the world knows nothing else about us, may the world know us because we bring other people to Jesus. May we seek others. We know little else of Andrew in the Bible. And I think Andrew's quite content for that to be the case. Because Andrew would say, church, don't look at me. Look to my God. Look to my Messiah. There's a reason Andrew followed behind Jesus. Because he wanted you to see Jesus first. But church tradition says that Andrew likely brought the gospel to a place called Scythia. You might not know where that is in ancient day, but you've heard of this country. There's a church in Kyiv, Ukraine, that commemorates the place where they believe started because Andrew brought the gospel to southern Russia and to modern day Ukraine. Almost all sources agree that Andrew ultimately died for his faith on an X-shaped cross. A cross that is commemorated today, it is the national symbol of Scotland. That white cross on that blue background, that points us to Andrew, who points us to Jesus Christ. It's called a saltire. And this is how history describes this event. Andrew went to Greece and he's sharing his faith. And as he's sharing his faith, people are coming to Jesus. And it's making others mad. And eventually that leads to the death of Andrew. It's described that they so hated the good news on the lips of Andrew that the soldiers were ordered to bind the hands and the feet of the apostle and not nail them. Because they hoped that he might be afflicted longer and be devoured alive by the dogs. So they hoped to nail him to tie him on an X-shaped cross. That way he would not die a quick death, as if nailing someone to a cross would be a good thing or happy moment, but that they were hoping the wild animals would devour him. And early church fathers like Eusebius actually record what Andrew said when he sees the cross. And I want these words to linger in your mind as we respond to the gospel today. It said that Andrew, when he first saw the cross, said this, "Hail, O cross, yes, be glad, because well, I know that after this day you will be at rest. You have waited a long time for me, and you have been wearied, being set up and awaiting me." Andrew looked at the cross and said, "I know you've been tired waiting for me. This is the day." It's said that on the cross, Andrew utters these words, "O cross, the device of salvation of the Most High." See, Andrew gets the gospel. He understood that to the world, the cross is folly. To those that are perishing, it's a stench of death. But to those who have eternal life, it is the aroma of salvation. Even in death, Andrew sought individuals he could bring to Jesus. Even on the cross, he is telling them, "This cross, not my cross, but Jesus' cross, is the instrument of salvation." Even in his death, Andrew the seeker is seeking individuals who he can introduce to Jesus Christ. It is noted that Andrew, as he remained tied to the cross with thick ropes for 3 days, these were his last words. "Accept me, O Christ Jesus, who I saw, who I love, and in whom I am. Accept my spirit in peace in your eternal realm. Accept me, O Jesus, who I saw, who I love, and in whom I am." I have to believe that there are some of you today that you're the seeker. You're just waiting for someone like John the Baptist to say, "That's the Lamb of God that you've been looking for." You're Peter. You're just waiting for your brother to come and say, "Hey, I found the Messiah." You're the boy. You're waiting for someone to say, "Hey, I have someone that can perform miracles in your life." You're the Greeks, and you say, "Well, I want to follow Jesus. I don't know how." And Andrew says, "I'll introduce you to someone who will change your life." If you are ready and willing to follow Jesus today, and you don't know how, or you're ready to give your life to Christ, I'm going to invite you right where you sit to pray a prayer like this in your heart. If you're listening online, right where you are. Because Jesus hears every prayer of authentic faith. It requires that we turn from ourselves and follow him. And it's worth it. If you're ready to follow Jesus today, you can pray this prayer. "God, I'm sorry that I am the sinner. It's no one else's fault, but it's mine. And today I'm ready to follow your son, Jesus Christ. I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross. I believe that Jesus rose again. And I believe that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, God, for the first time, I call upon you." If you prayed that prayer, Andrew would say, "Everyone who follows Jesus will find eternal life. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Andrew says that you will hear the response of Jesus. "Follow me, and I hope that you do. And you will find everything that you are looking for." Today, maybe you're tired of serving Christ and you're weary. And you say, "Pastor, I've been serving Jesus for 50 years and I've never once had a thank you." Well, first, I want to say thank you. Because even if we never see what you do for Jesus, God sees. And there will be eternal rewards. And if I had to serve in the shadow for the rest of my life, I would rather serve Jesus in the shadow than serve man in the platform. And lastly, who are you bringing to Jesus today? Who has God put on your heart that you should come and pray for, that you should spend time and seek the Lord and say, God, save my neighbor, save my son, save my mom, save my dad, save my aunt. Lord, help me introduce them to you. Because you, Jesus, are the answer. Oh, that God may give us a heart of Andrew. A man who sought, a man who knocked, and a man who followed. Father, thank you.